Please turn the Bible to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. As we conclude a series of messages from this one verse, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let us pray. And Lord, we do continue to worship you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to listen. Help me to listen to what your word has for us this morning as we continue to worship you and to be focused on you. And Lord, help us, Lord, through your power, through your might, by your Spirit, Lord, apply it to our hearts, our lives, so that we can draw closer to you and be a witness of you. For your glory, for all eternity, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're focusing on they were multiplied. The churches were multiplied, the early church. But notice, first of all, that they were, what they were doing, they were at peace. Peace with one another, peace with themselves, peace with God. Also, they were edified. To be edified spiritually, you begin with the firm foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, to build your life, to build the church. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. We are His body. We are His bride. Also, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They reverence the Lord. They worship the Lord daily in their lives, that He was King of their lives and Lord of all. And they lived in such a manner, they walked in this reverential awe of the holiness of God that was in them in the person of the Holy Spirit, which leads to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit residing in them and in us, and we can receive comfort no matter what is happening in life. We have the presence of God as we are His temple here on earth. So also with this, they were multiplied. Now, church, help me out. I wasn't very good in math in school. But what's 1 plus 1? 2 plus 2? 4 plus 4? 8 plus 8? 16 plus 16? That's enough. You see how this works? If you would just bring one to Christ, that's two. Then two. See how multiplication works? And what does it take? It takes us doing it. Now, if the church is not at peace, not built upon Jesus Christ, His authority, His word, if we're not in the reverential awe of Christ in worship and in our lives, and we're not walking in this fear and not walking through the power of the Holy Spirit, if it does multiply, it can't be of God. It's the latest gimmick, the latest program, or the latest scheme of man. But when the church is at peace and the Holy Spirit walking in the fear of the Lord, and when that multiplies, that's what changes lives. I want to be an Acts 9:31 church. I want to be an Acts 9:31 person. Multiplication. Why do we share our faith? Why is it that we come to Sunday school? Why is it we come to worship? You see, a heresy of today is it's all about you. It's not. It's about Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. And bringing Him glory. And bringing people to Christ. And why do we do that? Because we love them. We don't give them a self-help book and cheer up, buddy, do the best you can and do good. No, we tell them about Jesus that can save their soul from hell. Because we love them. That's why. Let's see what the scriptures say about multiplying, about sharing our faith. Acts chapter 1, if you would turn there. From Acts chapter 9, just turn a few pages. And we're picking up here we're at, about the ascension of Christ. I got another passage, Matthew 28, about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He said to the disciples. And by the way, it wasn't just 11 of them. They were there. But the New Testament says there was over 500 people there when He spoke these words. Now, they asked Him, they thought He was going to return the kingdom at that time. Yes, He did spiritually. The kingdom of God had come spiritually, but yet you and I worship by faith now, looking for His return. He's coming back, and all things will be set right at that time. But until then, He gives us a commandment. And let's see what He says in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. And He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." Now we know Jesus is coming back. And we ought to live every day as if He could come back today. Amen? With the urgency of His return. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So if you have been saved, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have been born again by the Spirit of God, you have power to witness for Him. He was speaking of Pentecost was going to come a few days later, and the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 that was in the upper room, and the 120 went out and shared their faith. Peter preached a sermon, and there were all nationalities there in Jerusalem there for Pentecost. And the miracle was that they didn't get up and jabber a bunch of stuff no one could understand, but they proclaimed the gospel message, and the Bible clearly says they heard the gospel in their own language. That's a miracle. And it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the same men, Peter and John, that was before the Sanhedrin. They had been arrested because over 3,000 that day, 5,000 more about 3 days later, and they were arrested by the same men who had just put Jesus to death about 3 or 4 months earlier, and they ran scared during that time, but now they have power. They had the power of the Holy Spirit, and they stood before the Sanhedrin and said, "I can't help but speak about Jesus. What's the difference?" Folks, they had the Holy Spirit. And if you're born again, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't be able but to speak about Jesus. Now, if you want to tell me, "Oh, that's just for the disciples," I wonder If you have never shared about Jesus who has washed you from your sins, you repented and you've been saved, I wonder, was you really saved? If you tell me that you don't have to witness. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is in you and it's crying out, Abba, Father, and the Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit says, yes, I'm a child of God, then the Holy Spirit through you will speak about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit only glorifies one person. Who is He? Jesus. Jesus. So, if anyone there says that you don't have to witness your faith, I wonder if they're saved. Because it's not the same Spirit of God that cries out, Jesus. Jesus. They stood and they had power, and you have the same power, the person of the Holy Spirit in you. Let me get personal with you about my own experience. Folks, I hadn't always lived for Christ. Oh, I was running. I was doing things a child of God wasn't supposed to do. But I tell you what, I knew who it was that had saved me. And even in my backsliding state, or whatever you want to call it, not being in fellowship, I even knew then that Jesus was the only way. Even then I knew that. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, will always be a witness about Jesus. Always. And if the church is at peace and being edified and walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord, Jesus will be glorified and lifted up, and people will be talking about Jesus wherever they go, whatever they're doing, because you have power. Also, I want to share with you, we are to be witnesses for Him where? Jesus gave them some places. He said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, where? In Jerusalem. That's home. Are you a witness at your home? And in all Judea, their surrounding areas, they were witnesses. And Samaria. Now, who were the Samaritans to these Jewish people? There were people not like them. You know, it's easy to share something with your fishing buddy or your golf partner or your friend. By the way, you're not a friend if you hadn't told your lost friend about Jesus. You're not a good friend at all. We're good at that, but a Samaritan to a Jewish person, can I say it? They were a dirty dog. Outcasts, half-breeds, and all of that stuff. But when the Holy Spirit was upon them, Philip, a Jewish man, went and preached in Samaria, and a great revival occurred in the book of Acts. Witnesses to people who were not like them. Also it says, and to the end of the earth. What's so good about being a Southern Baptist? Through the cooperative program, when you give to this church, a percentage of your giving goes to missions, to association missions, our parish, our state, North America, and internationally. As Southern Baptists, that's what we do. And not only that, we have special offerings. So you can be a part of sharing the gospel worldwide when you give to the church and to the special offerings. What is the greatest need of mankind? Is it to go feed them? That helps. Is it to go clothe them? That helps. But the greatest need is the gospel message. That's the greatest need of mankind. To the ends of the earth. And some of you may have a calling on your life, young people, to give your life to the mission field. So where to be witnesses? Everywhere. Now turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I want to ask you this question. Who gives us the right to share our faith? Who do we think we are to go around and debate that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? No one comes to the Father except through Him. What gives us the right to do that? And who gives us the right? Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. This is the great commission or the great commandment. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. He's the one with the keys of death and hell and the grave. He has all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Everyone say go. Don't mean to get up and walk out. I know I just said that. It don't mean nothing about Miss Hope. But it means to go out and share your faith. It's a commandment. He has all authority. And when we go and share our faith at home to our friends, we go in the name of who? Jesus Christ. We go in His name, with His authority, with His power. That's who gives us the right. God incarnate in the flesh. And He says this, go therefore, make disciples, which is being a follower, and of all the nations. Now, what are we to share? He's fixing to tell us. We are to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this refers to what we call the Trinity. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Other places in the New Testament says to baptize in Jesus. Now, that's what we do. Baptism and water baptism shows what has happened. You have died to the old self. You're a new creation in Christ. Ward 4 water won't do that for you. But it shows it. It's a watery grave. It shows the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Shows our death, burial, and resurrection. We identify with Christ in baptism. And it is showing what has happened to our lives. We are baptized in Jesus. Our lives are immersed in Jesus Christ. So when you're baptized as a born-again believer, it shows that your life is in Christ Jesus. You're baptized in Christ. It goes way beyond water baptism. And we are to teach these things, that Christ is our life. Without Christ, we're nothing. We are dead in Christ. It's not me that lives, but Christ liveth in me. Baptized. We are to go and make disciples, and baptizing them. Listen to verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. All things. What's the gospel message? You're a sinner. Any teaching that says that you can be good enough apart from the blood of the Lamb is a heresy and a lie from hell. Amen? Teach all things. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Christ died once for sin. If you refuse that sacrifice, you have trampled on the Spirit of grace. And there's no more sacrifice can be done. You can't make a sacrifice. Your life can't be a sacrifice. The sacrifice is Jesus. We turn from sin. We repent. We turn to Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, to save us from ourselves and from our sin. He comes in us. We're a temple of God. He saves us by His grace and mercy. And we have everlasting life. We can have a relationship with a holy God because He has provided the way. That's the gospel message. He died for sin. He was buried. He rose again. He's coming back. And He's the one that makes new creations. He's the one that makes us new creatures. It's only Him. Amen? That's the gospel. And when we receive Him, Paul preached self-control to King Agrippa. It's not a license to do anything you want to do. Your life now belongs to Jesus. No longer are you your own, but you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and now we live with His help, godly lives, serving Him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what we are to share. We are to share Jesus. Serve all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or to the end of the world. We have His presence. Have His presence. You see, it's a command. Again, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be a witness. You will. You will. It's like I live on a red clay hill. And on a day like today, if I walk around on our property where there's no grass, that red clay gets on me. And if I'm working out there and doing things, that red clay begins on my boots. You know where it winds up? All over me. It climbs on, it's like grease and gumbo mud. It just gets all over you. Folks, that's just a small example. If your life belongs to Jesus, He'll be all over you. You'll be a witness. You'll be a witness. We'll have an invitation, and we're going to have two parts to this invitation. One part is, I'm going to ask, if you have not received Christ as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, please come forward. I will help you pray and you can receive Christ. You can belong to Christ and make a public profession of faith and follow Him in believer's baptism. You can do that this morning. The second part is, I'm going to ask the child of God to make a commitment with me this morning. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm going to ask you. I don't want no one to go open the back doors. Matter of fact, if there's 20 men in the foyer, I'll ask you to come up here too in just a moment. Let's tend to eternity and to this serious matter that we may be lacking as born-again believers, and that is sharing our faith. Okay? If you would love to receive Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward during the first stanza of our invitation. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, help us to have reverence, Lord, in our hearts and lives and in our worship of you. Help us to have this reverence, Lord, that we will understand that we are to be a witness for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.